Ryan, the four hits and a miss, the Les Brown Band, and your truly, High Averback.
We get a better break with fun. How about you?
Yes, how about you?
Who, me?
Yeah, are you an Easter bunny?
No, I'm an Easter chick, and I'm getting even with Rita Hayworth for turning me down. I'm going to fly over her house and lay an egg in Ollie Kahn's.
And now, Bob Hope, Swan Guy, view of the news. Washington, D.C.
The 1949 Major League Baseball season was officially opened here today as President Truman threw out the first ball. Well, it wasn't exactly a ball. It was a round Republican. And Jane Russell was in the stands for the opening game here in Hollywood. Of course, it made everything the pitchers throw look like a straight ball. But it's sort of a silly game, baseball. That's where nine men try to get to first base, and the first baseman's a man. The flag-raising ceremony at the Cleveland opener was delayed when they found the pennant was missing. One of the players' wives took her baby to the game and forgot to bring along a change. And I wanted to help Cleveland, so I figured out a way where the opposing teams couldn't score a run, but they wouldn't let me use a manhole for home plate. And the movie stars here in Hollywood have their own baseball team. I'm the pitcher, Mickey Rooney's the shortstop, Gene Kelly plays first base, and Sidney Greenstreet's the stadium. We finally had to let Sinatra play. He got tired of being the bat. But Sinatra should never play baseball because his blood is too thin. Last week, somebody spiked him as he slid into home, and he rained all over the catcher.
Detroit, Michigan.
The National Automobile Survey here disclosed that 15,000 trailers took to the road as the annual caravan of tourists started across the country. Hollywood's really loaded with tourists. I took a walk down Hollywood Boulevard and signed so many autographs, my coin changer was red hot. And a lot of people are traveling in trailers today. A trailer, that's Kitty's. Your mother won't be back for a while. She stepped out in the backyard to hang up the wash, and I forgot we were doing 50 at a time. Yes, sir, everybody's traveling, and I'm going on tour this week. I got the traveling urge from my uncle. He went through 48 states in 27 days. He could have gone faster, but a posse was chasing him, and he was carrying a horse under each arm. And on my last trip, I... That sneaks up on you, doesn't it? And on my last trip, I stayed at the biggest hotel in Texas, the Shamrock, and that place is really big. When I came in, I saw the bleached bones of a skeleton laying in the lobby. The poor guy got lost trying to find the washroom. I guess I like to travel because I was in vaudeville. I did an act with a trained seal, and the seal was so smart, I used to put a vest on his fat little tummy and a toupee on his head, and he'd sing. I never knew what happened to him until last week when I heard the Philco show. On my last tour, we stopped in Kansas City, and I slept in the same bed President Truman uses when he's there. I got him sleeping in bread. That kid's eating cake now and liking it. I slept in the same bed President Truman uses when he's there. The bed was kind of lumpy, though. No wonder. Underneath, Drew Pearson. Okay.
Hollywood, California.
The Motion Picture Association announced here this week that the number of drive-in movie theaters in America had more than doubled in the last year. Yes, sir, those drive-in movies are really catching on. Drive-in movie, that's where every car is a balcony. When I go to one of those drive-in theaters, I like to park my car right down close to the screen. That way, Charles Boyer's lower lip washes my windshield. Two tour tourists out here in Hollywood pass a new drive-in movie, and one exclaimed, "Hey, Myrtle, look at the used car lot." And the other answered, "Yeah, things must really be tough. Now they're selling them with people in them." They caught one guy cheating in a drive-in theater. He drove in with a new Buick with his three kids under the hood. They were watching the picture through the porthole. And I don't know if those romantic pictures have any effect on those automobiles or not, but one guy got out to buy a candy bar, and when he came back, there was a note from his car that said, "I'm sorry, but I ran away with a cute little Pontiac. I know it was impetuous, but I'm a convertible, and I blew my top." And one guy I know drove into a drive-in theater, forgot to put his brakes on, and smashed into the screen. It was a very novel effect. Joan of Arc leading the French army to battle in a 1949 Chevrolet.
And now, the question of the week. Have you discovered why you get a better break with Swan? Have you broken a cake of Swan in two? That's the way to prove Swan gives you a better break. Yes, it's true. The inside of the cake tells you that Swan is the best soap afloat. That you get a better break with Swan.
Just break a cake and see.
Well, sure, just the way I'm breaking a cake right now. There, a smoother break. Now I press the inside of the cake. It's firm and solid, not soft and spongy. Then I press the edges. Again, firm and solid. No wasteful, crumbling edges, no matter how hard you press. That proves Swan will last longer. It's more economical that you get a better break with Swan.
Just break a cake and see.
And, ladies, Swan is better because it's made by an exclusive patented process that no other floating soap can use. So buy some Swan soap tomorrow. You'll discover that for dishes and your hands, for bath and for baby, you get a better break with Swan. To prove it,
just break a cake and see.
The current Warner Brothers picture, My Dream Is Yours, gives our singing star her material for this spot. And here she is, Miss Doris Day.
My dream is yours. My
dream is yours. Well, out of the airport, that big United Airlines plane is all warmed up, ready to take Bob and the cast on his personal appearance tour. Now, Bob's an intrepid flyer. He doesn't even wear a parachute. In case of an emergency, he just pulls a ripcord, which pumps air into his shoulder pads, while two wheels slowly descend from the seat of his pants.
Oh, Bob, it was nice of you to pick me up so I could drive out to the airport with you.
Oh, glad to do it, Doris.
Say, are you going to rent out your house while we're gone like you did the last time?
No, not the house, just the swimming pool. I rented it to Phil Harris.
Well, why does Phil Harris want a swimming pool?
He needs a bigger place to mix martinis.
Oh, that's silly.
No, it isn't. He puts in 3 parts gin, 1 part vermouth, and stirs it with his guitar player.
Bob, with the pool that big, how does he get the proportions right?
Well, when it's all mixed, he throws in a cocker spaniel, and if it comes out a Mexican hairless, that's it. To be making another personal appearance tour.
Yes, Bob, but you know, I think you work too hard on these trips.
No, I don't
really
think so, no.
After all, you sing and you dance and you tell jokes, that ought to be enough.
What do you mean?
Well, during the intermission, do you have to run up and down the aisle selling popcorn?
Well, I make 10 cents on every sale, and it's mostly all profit. You see, I save money by not using bags.
No bags? Well,
I just tell them to hold out one shoe, and I pour.
Gee, haven't you had any complaints?
Only from one woman. She said I got too much salt in her Blue Jay corn plaster. But, Doris, I'm really ready for this tour down south. I just bought a brand new joke that'll kill them down there. When anybody asks me where I'm from, I just say Shamokin, Pennsylvania.
Shamokin? Shamokin, where's that?
That's where they make the Shamokin tobacco.
I could with it. George, how do you like the joke?
Just drive him to a gas station, Bob. They'll wipe it off the windshield.
George, don't you get it? Smoking tobacco. I bought that joke from one of Les Brown's musicians.
Which one?
You know, the smart one, the one who sits there throwing up peanuts and catching them in that hole in his head. When his head gets half full of peanuts, they shake it for a rumbus.
Bob, by what were you going? The Smith closet
is Ryan. Oh, yeah, there she is waiting on the curb with her suitcase. Oh, hello, Miss Ryan.
Hello, Mr. Hope. Hello, darling.
Well, are you all ready for the trip, Miss Ryan?
Oh, yes. We don't have much luggage, Miss Ryan. Didn't you bring many clothes?
No, you see, the new dresses are getting shorter, and I can't wear them because they show my legs.
Oh, Miss Ryan, there's nothing wrong with your legs that any good plumber couldn't fix.
Oh, Mr. Hope, I used to have pretty legs when I was a girl. In fact, they told me I had legs just like a racehorse. Of course, I'm a little older now, and I'm only good on a muddy track.
Miss Ryan, your legs aren't that bad.
Oh, yes, they are. I hate to go out on the beach in a bathing suit because I'm so knock-kneed.
Knock-kneed?
Yes. From the hips down, I look like a collapsible ironing board.
My legs are the same way. Why don't you do what I did? Have your knees sharpened so you can clip hedges. I'm waiting for television.
Say, by the way, Mr. Hope.
What?
Well, I know that you don't think too much of my singing voice, but I wish you'd let me sing on this trip because we're going right through my hometown.
Oh, that's funny. We're going right near where I come from, too.
We are?
Yes. Watch this door. You know, Miss Ryan, I'm from Shamokin, Pennsylvania.
Shamokin?
Yeah, that's where they make
it. Oh, I know where it is. It's right near that little town of Shewing.
Shewing? Where's that?
That's where they make Shewing tobacco.
Get that joke.
From one of Les Brown's musicians for 10 cents. He gave me the joke and all of the peanuts that fell out of his head. But about my singing on this personal appearance tour, now...
I told you before, Miss Ryan, Doris does the song.
Well, I've just been copying the music, too. Now, you just listen to this. You broke your promise.
Miss Ryan, just break it. Don't fracture it, please. Maybe so, but I think you need new washers. Well, here we are at the airport, Doris. I hope we're not late.
The United DC-6 that will carry the Bob Hope Swan Show is now ready to leave on runway 5.
Come on, everybody. We'd better hurry.
This plane is taking off for El Paso, Waco, and College Station, Texas, Freeport, Chattanooga, and other southern towns. We are holding the plane now for the arrival of an important passenger.
That's me.
The important passenger is Albert. We can't leave for the South without Albert.
Well, who's he?
Prince Albert. He makes all the Shamokin tobacco.
I gotta talk. talk to one of Les Brown's musicians. I'll be right back.
Thursday, tell me. Now,
I know how. You want me to break a case of flying through right here and now and prove that you get a better break of fun.
Well, not exactly, Doris. I thought we'd prove it together.
Together, huh?
Sure, here. Now, let's break this case of flying together.
Okay.
You hold one half, I'll hold the other. Now, we break it. Like that. Now, tell me what you see inside the half you're holding.
Why, I see the same thing I always see. Every time I break flying through it, half. It's really firm, solid soap all the way through.
With no wasteful, crumbling edges. Yes, Doris, when you break Swan, you see instant proof that you get a better break with Swan. Then press the inside of the cake, never soft and spongy. You can feel how firm Swan is. A better break for thrift. Swan lasts longer in the dish pan.
Introduce tonight's guest, one of America's favorite people and mine, too, that well-dressed man, Mr. Jimmy Durante, in person. Tonight.
And why not, Robert?
You'll notice I'm using a maiden name. You know, I'm in the pink. Why, I feel like a 20-year-old boy.
And now all you got to do is convince a 20-year-old girl. Well, it's your night.
It's your night having you drop in on us, Jim.
Thank you, Bob. And while I'm here, I think it's time we cleared up a false impression.
You mean?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, in spite of the fact that Bob Hope and I have the same facial characteristics, almost 12 inches long,
Jimmy Durante is not my father.
The truth of the matter is, Junior, my nose is much more attractive than yours anyway.
How do you figure, James?
Well, your nose goes along for quite a ways, and just when it starts to get interesting, it drops off. My nose continues to the bitter end.
And then some. Well, Dobby, James, how does it feel being together with us on our show again?
Robert, this nostalgic reunion typifies the great Garcia's characteristics of our vocation. That means that brings two pedestrians together in such an aesthetic and momentous occasion.
You took the words out of my mouth.
Well, open up and I'll throw them back in. They ain't doing me no good.
Yes, sir. It's the only guy I know whose English isn't housebroken.
Tell me, I'm a strip of yours. What is going to be your itinerary?
Itinerary?
Punk must be shaking hands with Wagner tonight.
Well, Jim, we're going to El Paso and Waco and College Station, Freeport. What joke are you working on, honey? Mississippi, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Birmingham, Providence, Erie, Pennsylvania, and Columbus, Ohio. That's a distance of 4,000 miles in 12 days.
How do you like that? It takes me a day and a half to cross Sunset Boulevard. You know, Bob, I'd like to go on your tour with you, but I'm busy getting ready for television.
Oh, yes, television. I was reading about it just the other day down on my plastic surgeon.
Bob, this one thing has me worried about switching from radio to television.
What's that, Jimmy?
When women hear my voice, they swoon in ecstasy. But when they can see me too, there just won't be enough smelling salt to go around.
You've heard of Ali Chan. Shake hands with Freeway Durante.
Robert, I've already started to change my personality for television. Can't you see me as a gay laughing playboy sitting in my New York penthouse?
Beg pardon, sir.
Oh, it's my butler, Chippendale. Have you drawn my box?
Yes, sir.
Well, so in my underwear, while I'm in there, I'd like to rinse out a few untouchables. So the bath shouldn't be a total loss.
Very good, sir. I came in to tell you, sir, that Robert Carlyle Poonington the Third is here to see you. May I take a hat, sir?
Yes, just put it in that, sir.
Oh, there you are, James. Hello, Robert. I've been missing you at the polo matches. What have you been doing with yourself? And that's a straight line. I didn't grab you, James. What have you been doing with yourself?
All the usual things. Monte Carlo for the gambling season, Long Island for the yachting season, and Pomona for the orange-picking season. I say there,
James, your fountain pen must be leaking. There's ink all over your cheeks. Oh, that's not ink, Robert.
No?
No, I cut myself shaving.
Lavender blue. Aren't you a dilly-dilly? Say, I'll tell you why I'm here, James. I hear that while I've been out of town, you've been running around with my girl, Doreen, and I want you to stop.
I think that's for the girl with the tag, Junior, and she'll be here in a few minutes.
No.
That's funny. I didn't even hear the phone ring.
Oh, it's so good to see you, James, you handsome, adorable, virile, curly-headed young Adonis.
I can't help it, folks. It's been like this ever since I started putting a dab of taboo under each nostril.
Oh, James, I've counted every moment I've had to be away from you.
And that's just his nose. Wait till he gets to his lips. That is true, Doris. You want James.
I'm sorry, Robert. It has to be.
Yes. Doris and I will be married in June, and for our honeymoon, we're going to India to live on my teakwood plantation. You must drop in sometime and join us in a cup of teak.
Doris, what is there in Durante that you love so much?
Well, it's certainly not his looks or his money, and it's certainly not his mind.
Well, what is it?
I'll play the piano, and Doris will explain.
Is hiding from Durante. Cut it, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the baseball world got a big thrill today when the Major League opened their 1949 season. And if you want another king-size baseball thrill, open up a terrific new book entitled The Cleveland Indians. This book has not been banned in Boston. In fact, even the Braves are buying it. Because no matter what side you're on, if you love baseball, you'll love this new book, The Cleveland Indians, written by Franklin Whitey Lewis, famed sports editor of the Cleveland Press. Well, folks, no more home games for the Swan team for the next couple of weeks. Tomorrow afternoon, we're playing Waco, Texas, and tomorrow night, Texas A&M. Thursday afternoon, Shreveport, Louisiana. Thursday night, Little Rock, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, Columbia, Mississippi. Friday night, Birmingham, Alabama. Saturday, we're in Chattanooga. Sunday, Asheville, North Carolina. And Sunday night, Charleston, South Carolina. Next Monday night, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Next Tuesday, Richmond, Virginia. I won't say this is a tight schedule, folks, but if a DC-6 zooms over your house towing a laundry bag, that's us. Good night, folks. See you tomorrow in Waco.
Dexter, if you don't hurry up, we'll never get your homework finished.
Okay, Carlos. 7 into 49 goes... 7 into... Yeah, that's right.
What's right?
7 into 49 goes.
Oh, Dexter. Here, try this one.
Well, let's see. If an egg is 1 inch wide and 2 inches high... Hey, I thought of a rhyme. 1 inch wide and 2 inch high. How many eggs would an egghead buy?
Dexter, that is not the problem.
Okay. 2 inches high and... Saved by the bell. I'll be right back, Corliss. Okay, I'm coming. Yes, sir?
Express company, son. I got a case of apples for the people next door.
The people next door? Oh, they don't live here.
Yeah, I know. But do you mind if I leave their apples here? There's nobody there.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you, mister. There's nobody there.
Sure, that's what I'm saying. They aren't there, so I want to leave their apples here. Now, do you want to take them or not?
Well, sure, if you put it that way, sure.
Fine. Sign right here.
Yeah, okay.
Look, just sign it, kid. Don't write me a letter.
There you are.
Thanks. Now, here's the... Hey, I can't even read what you wrote. Do you sign everything like this?
Sure. With oodles of love, Dexter Franklin.
Oh, well, thanks, oodles. Here's the apples.
Boy, a whole case of apples.
Dexter, am I going to help you with your homework or not?
Sure, Corliss. Just as soon as I get the lid off these apples.
Look at that. A whole box full.
Where'd they come from, Dex?
The Express Company. They're for the people next door.
McDonald? They moved away months ago. Dexter, you know they don't live here anymore.
Holy cow, I told the man, but he insisted on leaving them anyway. Gosh, that sure is a lot of apples. How are we going to eat them all?
Golly, I don't know unless... Wait. Why don't we have a Halloween party? We can duck for apples and eat candy apples.
Hey, yeah. And snap at apples on a string. You're looking at a first-class apple snapper.
Oh, Dex will have a lot of fun. Come on, let's go over and ask my mother.
Okay, as soon as I get another apple.
Another one? Dex, you're eating two now.
Well, if there's going to be a prize for the best apple snapper, I got to know how to snap from all sides.
I just got home myself. How were things at the office today?
Not bad. We settled the Ferguson case.
Oh.
What in the name of heaven is that?
Our new lamp. It's made out of an old milk can. Like it? It's to replace the one Dexter broke.
Janet, if Dexter knocks this one over, our next lamp will be made out of an old teenager.
Very.
And will I enjoy turning him out? By the way, did anything come for me today?
Oh, not while I was home. Why?
I'm expecting a package from Uncle John. According to his letter, we should have received it by now.
Received what?
A case of apples. He shipped it by express, just like last year.
Yes, those wonderful apples from Washington. And you love apples, so...
I have to love them with Dexter around.
Dexter?
Apples are the only things in the refrigerator that seem to escape his dainty little meat hooks.
I think I can take credit for some of that. I stacked the refrigerator against him.
Huh?
Apples in the back, everything else in front. And you know Dexter. He never moves anything. He eats his way to it.
Mom! Mom! Oh, hi, Daddy.
Hello, baby.
Hi, everybody.
Well, good heavens, Corliss. What are you so excited about?
I'll tell you, Mrs. Archer. She's going to watch Dexter Franklin, the world's greatest living apple snapper.
Greatest living water witcher?
Daddy, he means we're going to have a Halloween party. You know, ducking for apples and snapping at apples and candied apples. And, oh, Mom, can we have the party over here? Please, pretty please, with just gobs and gobs of sugar on it.
Why can't you have it at Apple Snapper's house with just gobs and gobs of sugar on it?
Oh, it's all right, Harry. Let them have the party over here if they want to. Is it going to be a costume party, Coralie?
Golly, Mom, that's a positively cool idea. I can come as Juliet.
What, again?
Romeo, oh, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? That's you, Dex.
Oh, no. Not this time. This time Romeo is coming as somebody else.
But, Dexter, who else is there?
How the heck do I know? Maybe I'll come as Chicken Tracks Franklin, the rootinest, tootinest old coot that ever tooted a root.
Dexter.
I've got an idea, Dexter. Very Halloween-y, too. You know the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away?
Sure.
Well, I'll come to the party as an apple.
Yeah?
And you be the doctor and keep away. Hi, Mary. Where's Dexter?
Oh, Bill, you're home early. Dexter's next door at the Arches.
Oh? Hey, what smells so good?
Oh, that's apple pie.
Swell. You making an apple pie?
I'll say I'm making an apple pie. And another apple pie, and another apple pie, and another apple pie.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Okay, and another apple pie.
You...
Not to mention apple turnovers, apple dumplings, fritters and strudels, apple tarts, baked apples. And you're the apple of my eye, sweet Adeline.
Hey, what are you talking about?
Apples. Is there anything else? Look, we got a whole case of them.
We did. What did we do that for?
I thought you might know. Somebody sent them to us.
Oh. Well, wasn't there any card in them?
No, just apples.
Oh, but who'd send us a whole case of... Wait a minute. These must be from Ralph Gardner.
Who?
Ralph Gardner, a customer of mine. I got him some stuff he needed last week, and he told me I'd be hearing from him.
Good. I wish he'd write more often.
Gosh, a whole case of apples. How will we ever eat them all?
Now, don't worry, dear. In addition to the above mentioned, I am also making apple butter, apple jelly, apple sauce, and apple you name it. I'm even thinking of making apple apples.
That'd be a nice touch. It's too bad the McDonald's next door moved away. We could give them some.
Well, what about the Archers? I thought I'd give them some pie.
Yes, I would. After all, Harry Archer would do the same thing if these were his apples.
Bill, you want to know something?
What?
I wish they were.
Yes, I see. Well, thank you very much. Bye.
Harry, who was that on the phone?
Western Union. I wired Uncle John and just got an answer. He sent that case of apples nearly a week ago. What are they running, a slow express company?
Well, don't fret about it. Maybe they'll get here tonight.
Mom! Mom, look how our candy apples turned out.
They do look delicious, dear. Greatest living candy apples in the world. Want a bite, Mr. Archer?
No. And the next person that says apples is going to go flying out that front door.
Hi! What's going on?
Oh, come on in, Mary.
Hi, Mom. Want a bite?
No, thanks, son. Oh, here, Janet. I brought you a pie.
Well, thanks.
Oh, it looks delicious.
What is it?
It's an...
Better not say it, Mom.
Oh, why not? It's apple.
Bye, Mom.
It would be apple.
Bye, Mr. Archer.
Oh, Dexter, be quiet.
Harry, what's eating you?
Apples. That's what's eating me. Apples.
Well, why didn't you bite back? Well, his Uncle John sent him a present, Mary, and he's annoyed with the express company because it isn't here yet.
Gosh, I don't blame him. Mr. Archer, if I was you, I'd call him up.
Well, that's not a bad idea, Dexter.
But they may have brought it, Harry. I was out all afternoon.
Well, couldn't they leave it next door?
Heck yes. Mr. Archer, I'd find out who's to blame and string him up by his thumbs.
After all, Janet, I don't get a case of apples every day.
apple?
Dexter, what's the matter?
He's all right, Janet. His apple went down the wrong way.
Yeah, and that's not the only one. I don't know how it happened, Corliss. I figured since the McDonald's moved to another city, we could just keep the apples. How did I know they were for your father?
Golly, Dex, this is simply absolutely awful. I guess you're just a freak of circumstance.
Huh?
How could you make such a stupid mistake?
Well, I guess you can do anything if you try.
And what are we going to say to my father?
I don't know. I was kind of thinking of keeping quiet.
Yeah, but when he finds out, Dex, you'll be in stark naked trouble. Can't you give back the apples?
Give them back? Corliss, how can you put an apple back together when it's been in a pie? It kind of ruins them for being apples. And it's even harder when they've been in jelly.
Oh, golly. You mean they're all gone?
Well, how are your father's front teeth?
Front teeth?
Sure. We still got a bucket of apple cores.
Oh, Dexter, you better think up something better than that.
Don't worry, I will when the time comes.
Corliss! Oh, hello, baby.
Hi, Daddy.
Who was that at the door a while ago?
The mailman, Daddy.
Oh. No apples, I suppose.
No, sir.
No, I didn't think so. Well, that settles it. I'm not going to waste any more time waiting. I'm going to get to the bottom of this fiasco and find out who's responsible for it. Dexter?
Holy cow, are you at the bottom already?
No, but you were right, Dexter.
Well, somebody was wrong.
What do you mean he was right, Daddy?
Why, Dexter's the one who said I should call the express company.
Oh, sure, Corliss.
Dexter, you didn't say my father should call the express company.
Sure, I said
Dexter,
he should...
you didn't say my father should call the express company to find out where they left his apple.
Sure, don't you remember I said... Who, me, Miss Rogers?
Well, of course, it was your idea.
Oh, but, Daddy, we change our ideas as we get older.
Yeah, and I'm getting older every minute.
Well, whoever said it, I'm going to do it.
Dexter, do something. The express company will tell him you got his apples.
Holy cow. Oh, Miss Roger. Hey, Mr. Roger.
Wait a minute, Dexter.
Miss Roger, you're not calling the express company.
No, I'm just giving my dialing finger a workout. Hello, express company? This is Mr. Harry Archer. Yes. Do you have a record of a delivery for me? Apples. Yes, I'll hold on.
Mr. Archer, you shouldn't have called them just because I said so. Look, I'm loony as a goofball. See?
Dexter, be quiet. Yes? Hello? You did deliver it? Next door, huh?
Even loonier, Mr. Archer.
Well, who signed for it?
Oh, Dexter.
Oh, you can't. Well, can't you make out any? Yeah. Yeah? Oodles.
Who?
No, I don't. Thanks very much.
Well, Daddy?
Yeah. Well?
Corliss, what's the name of those people who moved in on the other side of us?
Petler.
Oh, Petler. Oodles Petler?
I don't know.
Then let's go find out.
Why?
Because if it is, Oodle better hold on to his noodle.
Daddy, are you sure the Petlers have your apples?
They must have. The express company said so. Anyway, we'll soon find out.
Yeah, who do they think they are?
Hello.
Now, see here, Peddler. I want one thing understood. I always like to get off on the right foot with my neighbors.
Oh, that's the best foot, all right. Not much good in a wet shoe, though.
Yes. Well, in this neighborhood, when a neighbor takes a delivery for another neighbor, the neighbor who takes the delivery usually delivers the delivery to the neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Do I make myself clear?
Well, no. But it's a catchy tune.
Look, Peddler, I didn't come over here to make jokes. I believe something was delivered to you yesterday by mistake.
Well, don't apologize. We all make mistakes. What is it?
A case of apples.
Apples? Oh, then it couldn't have been a mistake. I just love apples.
But these are my apples.
Well, they're certainly not here.
You mean you don't have my apples?
I don't even have my apples.
Oh, well, perhaps I misunderstood. I'm sorry. I thought that...
Excuse me. Do you really like to get off on the white foot?
Yes, I do.
And would you mind, please, getting it out of my door?
Oh. Oh, yes, of course.
Much obliged.
Daddy, maybe Mr. Petler doesn't have your apples.
Yeah, Mr. Archer. Maybe the express company made a mistake.
Well, somebody did. And, Dexter, I'm going to do what you said.
What, Daddy?
When I find out who's to blame, I'm going to string him up by the thumbs.
Oh, holy cow, did I say that?
You certainly did.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but, Mr. Archer, don't forget what else I said.
What?
Want me to wash the dishes, Mom?
Oh, thanks, dear.
Where's Daddy?
Burning the trash. Getting rid of his annoyance, I guess.
Golly, I don't know why he's making such a fuss about a case of apples.
It's the lawyer in him, dear. He hates to lose a case. Oh, Mom. Sorry, dear.
How can he get so excited about such a small, minor molehill?
He claims he's being patriotic.
Patriotic?
Yes, he says it's National Apple Week, and anything that's national must be patriotic.
Oh, golly.
Janet! I thought you said my apples didn't come.
I did. You mustn't have been listening, dear.
Then what is the top of an apple case doing out by the incinerator?
Well, I haven't the slightest idea.
I put it there, Daddy. Dexter used it to carry over some apples. But it isn't from your case. It's from Mr. Franklin.
Yeah? Since when does Bill Franklin spell his name Harry Archer?
What?
That's what it says on the sticker. To Mr. Harry Archer.
You mean their apples?
Are my apples. I'll be right back.
Oh, wait a minute, Harry. Where are you going?
I'm going next door. You know how I love to peel apples.
But, Daddy, all the apples are gone.
I know. I'm going to peel Dexter. Hello, Bill. Mary?
Hi, Harry.
Harry, do you have to slam it? Harry... Harry, don't you dare make a scene.
Well, look who's talking.
Janet, did you have to slam?
Daddy, don't get angry, please.
Everybody, stop slamming the door.
I've got a cake in the oven.
Oh, sorry, Mary. What kind? Apple.
Apple. An apple cake. Cake made out of apples. Somebody else's apples.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, there you are, you snapping apple snatcher.
Huh?
I'll tell you what, huh? Those apples you got are mine.
What?
Now, wait a minute, Harry. There must be some mistake here. I'll say there is. And you made him. You... Now, listen, you courtroom kegglehead. That's my son. And you listen, you hardware huckster. You've sold smarter doorknobs than the one he uses for a head.
But, Dad, Patty, Dexter didn't know they were your apples.
Heck no, the guy said they were for the people next door.
Then why didn't you deliver them to the people next door?
Well, they moved away.
But I live next door, don't I?
Sure, Mr. Archer, but that's where I got you.
How?
You live on the other side.
I'm sorry the Halloween party was such a disappointment.
Oh, that's okay, Corliss. It's just that I'm no longer the world's greatest living apple snapper.
Yeah, but you came in second.
Gosh, who'd ever think he'd beat me? And by only half a snap. He's the last person you'd ever think of as the world's greatest living apple snapper.
But I never dreamed he'd beat you. I'm sorry, Dex.
Okay.